Invite you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I want to look at primarily at two verses with you tonight. But I want to read the surrounding verses and then zoom in on the two that are before you. Let's begin with verse 1 of Romans 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And I want to zoom in on verses 3 and 4, but I want to remind you about a Christian who was in very difficult circumstances, and he fell to his knees in prayer. And what he intended to pray was, when am I going to get out of all these trials? But by a slip of the tongue, what he actually voiced in prayer was, what am I going to get out of these trials? What am I going to get out of these trials? But as he thought about it, he thought that might be a good prayer to pray after all. What am I going to get out of these trials? You see, there's something more important than escaping from trials, and that is learning from what our Heavenly Father wants us to gain from these trials that we endure. What can we gain from going through difficulties? I think this passage speaks to that. What does God want us to gain from our trials? I want to go line by line, verses 3 and 4 in chapter 5 of Romans. First of all, Paul says, we also glory in tribulations. That word glory is translated exalt in the New American Standard Version. Exalt means, by definition, to feel or show great happiness, to be extremely joyful, to exalt, to be joyful in tribulations or troubles. I notice the NIV has the word rejoice there, and it's the same word, but coincidentally, that's used in verse 2, where it says, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So it does have the idea of finding joy, being extremely joyful in tribulations or troubles. And that word tribulation there has the idea of pressure. Circumstances that bring pressure into our lives, and we can relate to such circumstances. But Paul is saying that we can rejoice, we can find joy even in those tribulations. Great companion passages in James chapter 1. You remember James says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Basically saying the same thing. Easy to read, easy to say, but how do we find joy in trials and tribulations? As we look at these two passages, I think one of the answers is this, that we may have joy in tribulation when we consider what we can gain from these times. And Paul says there's something to gain. James says there's something to gain. And for that reason, we can find joy. We can have joy even in difficulty. If we know that there is a positive benefit to be derived, we can endure some temporary pain. Let me give you a few examples. One is, and I like to share this passage of Scripture with those mothers, expecting mothers. I need to share this with Madeline Gwynn and Crystal Coker. John 16:21. When Patrice was in labor, I didn't quote this verse. I didn't think that would be appropriate. It might be harmful to my health. But notice what this says, John 16:21. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. But I know that you mothers who have experienced labor will also attest to the truth of this passage, that as intense as that labor was, as soon as that you're holding that baby in your arms, you tend to forget about the anguish, about the pain. But before the baby was born, there had to be that pain, that labor. But there was a positive benefit derived from it. Same way with enduring surgery. Again, Brother Ernie, I still quote you on this. Brother Ernie told me one time, as he was facing surgery, I can endure anything for a day. I can endure anything for a day. Knowing that the immediate aftermath of surgery, there's going to be some pain involved, but knowing that with the passing of some more time, that pain would go away and there'd be a positive benefit. That's what we remind ourselves when we're facing surgery, that if I can endure this pain for a little while, there'll be a positive benefit. Vaccinations, immunizations. I think it was Brittany. Patrice had me hold Brittany one time when she was about to get some shots. And I remember vividly looking down at her and getting her to smile. And she's looking at me smiling. And all of a sudden they stick that needle in her leg. And she's looking at me and her facial expression just changes into a scowl. And with her eyes she was saying, "Daddy, what are you doing to me?" But with those immunizations, it's to protect them. That temporary pain has a positive benefit to keep her, to keep children from having different diseases. Exercising. I know some young men that are not very fond of defensive slides on the basketball court. It hurts to get down on and do those defensive slides up and down the court. Of course, we could do what we used to call suicides. And that name may be fitting at times because it feels very painful. You run to the free throw line and back, to half court and back, to the other free throw line and back, to the other end of the court and back. That's one. You might have to run several. But in exercising, experiencing that temporary pain, it has a positive benefit of building up endurance and outlasting your opponent when game time comes. On and on, we could give examples. But if we know there's some benefit to the pain we're experiencing, then it helps us to endure. And we can find joy even. What positive benefits can there be from enduring trials? Notice the second phrase. Knowing that tribulation or troubles produce perseverance. King James has the word patience, but the idea is perseverance. Patience has the idea, can have the idea of being passive. I was speaking with someone out at Gulf Coast Bible Camp, Johnny Waldrop. And he had told me he had finished a study of Job and that he'd learned a lot about patience. And I said, "Well, when we study about Job, and have you heard of the patience of Job?" James asks in his epistle. Really, the idea is perseverance. Because Job wasn't passive. He was very active in his asking and seeking answers as to why he was suffering. And so perseverance is more the idea. In fact, that's the idea with this word. It literally means to remain under. And it has to do with remaining under, staying under some trial, some burden, if you will, that you have to bear. And thinking about burdens, there are different types of burdens. One type of burden is something that we can help others bear or that others can help us bear. Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So there are burdens that others can help us or we can help others bear. Number two, another type of burden is the burdens that only God can carry. The burden of our sin, the guilt of sin, is something that God doesn't want us to carry. He wants us to place that burden on Him as we surrender our lives to Him. Cast your burden upon the Lord and He shall sustain you, Psalm 55:22. So there's burdens that we can help each other bear. There's burdens that only God can bear. But then there are burdens that we must bear alone. Galatians 6:5, each one shall bear his own load, his own burden. There's two different words used there between the burdens that we can help each other bear and that one that we have to bear individually. But still a burden. And this idea of persevering means to remain under, to stay under, to not give in to it, to not despair, to not give up. Well, in fact, Jim McGuigan in his commentary on Romans says this: the word speaks of endurance, steadfastness under the pressure of things, circumstances. It is a bearing up under and not simply resignation. It is a spiritual staying power. It is an aggressive hanging in under trial and making use of the circumstances. The saint exercising hupomone, that's a Greek word, refuses to be a victim. He chooses his reaction to circumstances. So it's a very active word. Endurance, steadfastness, perseverance. That's a benefit of going through trials, that it produces perseverance. Perseverance, the ability to persevere. Irving Stone studied many great people, wrote novelized biographies of such men as Michelangelo and Vincent van Gogh. He was once asked if he had found a thread that runs through the lives of all these exceptional people. And this was his response. He said, I write about people who sometimes in their life have a vision or dream of something that should be accomplished, and they go to work. They're beaten over the head, knocked down, vilified, or for years they get nowhere. But every time they're knocked down, they stand up. You cannot destroy these people, and at the end of their lives, they've accomplished some modest part of what they set out to do. I think that's an example of this idea of perseverance. Refusing to stay down after being knocked down builds perseverance. We get back up. We've made it through that trial. We're better equipped now to face more. But only tribulation, going through those trials, can build that endurance in our lives. But there's more benefit. Next line. And perseverance produces character. Perseverance produces character. Other versions have it produces proven character or strength of character. And the idea of this term, character, has the idea of being tested, tried, and approved. Perseverance is what produces that tried, tested, and approved character. McGuigan says the idea is approvedness. This word speaks of the process of proving or the result of proving. It is tried integrity. And the message is that problems, when responded to correctly, are character builders. Problems, when responded to correctly, build character. Here's some quotes about character that I thought were appropriate. Paul Powell wrote this: God is more concerned about our character than our comfort. His goal is not to pamper us physically, but to perfect us spiritually. And when we keep that in mind, then we understand more about this progression of tribulation producing perseverance, perseverance, character. God is more concerned about our character than our comfort. But to have that character, we have to persevere through trials. Martin Luther King Jr. is attributed with this statement: "The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy." In studying about Paul and Timothy, one source I was reading spoke a lot about the example that Paul lived before Timothy. And there were two statements that were made by this one resource. One is this: actions speak louder than words. Actions speak louder than words. And no doubt Paul had taught Timothy a lot by verbal communication, much less the letters that he wrote to him. But it was Timothy observing Paul's life that I'm sure made those words live, because he saw Paul put them into practice. He saw it lived out before him. Actions speak louder than words. But a second statement was this: that reactions speak louder than actions. Reactions speak louder than actions. It's easy to be good, if you will, when everything is going well. But let some kind of turmoil come into your life and you react to it, it is our reactions that speak louder, even louder than our actions. Character is produced not in moments of comfort and convenience, but in times of challenge and controversy. Helen Keller, one of my heroes, said, "Character cannot be developed in ease and quiet. Only through experience of trial and suffering can the soul be strengthened, vision cleared, ambition inspired, and success achieved." And you consider that statement in light of her life, and it resonates even more, doesn't it? But character cannot be developed in ease and quiet. And Paul is teaching us it comes about by going through tribulation and building perseverance. And when you persevere through these troubles, then character is developed. Goethe said, "A talent is formed in stillness, a character in the world's torrents." But there's more benefit. The fourth phrase: and character produces hope. Character produces hope. Hope here means to anticipate, usually with pleasure. It has the idea of expectation and confidence in that expectation. I've always been taught that hope, biblically speaking, is desire plus expectation. Something that you desire, that you look forward to, that you anticipate, and that you expect to experience. Desire plus expectation. Character produces hope in the hearts of Christians. Consider the misery of having no hope. I read about a town called Flagstaff that was to be flooded as part of a large lake for which a dam was being built. And in the months before it was to be flooded, all improvements and repairs in the whole town were stopped. After all, why would you want to paint a house or fix up a house, remodel a house, if it's going to be flooded out? And so week by week, the whole town became more and more tattered, more gone to seed, simply left for ruin. And a man describing the decline of the town explained, "Where there is no hope for the future, there's no power in the present." Where there is no hope for the future, there's no power in the present. Hope is powerful. But it's enduring trials, building character, that produces hope. I'll never forget reading and even writing about a millionaire by the name of Eugene Lang, who was invited to come back to this school, sixth grade class, in fact, in East Harlem, school where he had attended when he was younger. And they wanted this successful businessman to come and speak to these students, these sixth graders, to try to inspire them, to try to inspire them by his example, that if he could graduate and excel as he had, then they could too. And so he thought about what would he say to this class of 59 sixth graders. And he had put together some notes. But when he got up to speak, he decided to set aside those notes. And he looked at these 59 sixth graders and he said this: "If you stay in school, and I'll help pay college tuition for every one of you." And at that moment, the lives of these students changed. And the reason was that for the first time in many of their lives, they had hope. Because when Eugene Lang made this promise to these students, they knew he had the financial resources to back his promises. And many of them, the graduation rate of this particular class was much higher than previous classes. And no wonder, because they knew that if they graduated, that he would help pay for their college tuition. One of the students said, "I had something to look forward to, something waiting for me. It was a golden feeling." And nearly 90% of that particular class went on to graduate from high school. That's the power of hope. And Paul says that's a benefit that we gain by going through, enduring the tribulation, building character, and that character produces this hope that's not simply a wish. One might hope for $1 million, but that's not the hope described in the Bible. Again, scriptural hope carries the concept of expectation or anticipation. Children of God hope for, they expect, they anticipate the second coming of Jesus, the resurrection from the dead, and eternal life. I love what William Barclay wrote. "The Christian hope is not simply a trembling, hesitant hope that perhaps the promises of God may be true. It is the confident expectation that they cannot be anything else but true." Why? Because God has made those promises. And you talk about resources to back them up. He has all the resources to assure us that whatever he promises, as Abraham believed, he is able to perform. That gives us a foundation for our hope that is produced more and more as we endure tribulation and as we build character, and as this character produces hope. And then we come full circle. It's that hope that enables us to rejoice. Verse 2 again says, "We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." So here's the circle. We can have joy in tribulation because tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And that hope that we have in Christ enables us to rejoice. There's the full circle. Now hope, this kind of hope, does not disappoint. Romans 5 and verse 5. "Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." You see, that hope is not only grounded on the Word of God, but in the very love of God. God demonstrates his own love toward us, we'll read just a few verses later, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So we might have forgiveness, so that we might have hope. Jesus said, "In the world you will have tribulation." And many times we may be tempted to fall down to our knees and say, "When am I going to get out of all these trials?" But perhaps we should also pray, "What am I going to get out of all these trials?" There's a benefit, Paul says, and James echoes. Because going through those tribulations builds perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope is what enables us to rejoice. Will these trials defeat us or develop us? The answer lies in how we respond to them. And God wants us to gain from these experiences. Because sometimes it's the difficulties that we go through that cause us to turn to God. And that's a benefit. It may be that you've been going through a difficult time and it's caused you to turn to God. And perhaps there's some here tonight that are ready to put the Lord on in baptism, to accept that hope that's found in Christ by surrendering your life in obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you need the prayers of the church to help you realize again that hope that's found in Jesus, we hope and pray that you will let that be known. And won't you come right now as we stand and sing.